yeah. Come. Wait a second.
Hello, I'm Jonathan from Everything Everything, and you're listening to the Everything Everything podcast.
Welcome to the Everything Everything podcast, and to celebrate the release of Ark, the new album from Everything Everything, we have Jonathan on the line. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Andrew.
Hello. Well, yeah, it's so good to have you back. How's it going, Jonathan?
Very well. I'm just kicking back in Manchester at home.
Cool. Are you in your bedroom?
I am, actually, Andrew. We're getting close now.
Describe what your bedroom's like, Jonathan. I imagine Everything Everything's bedroom, it's going to be pretty wacky.
It's just a big cage suspended over the Thames.
A big cage?
Yeah, it's David Blaine used to own it, or whatever he's called.
David Blaine? Who's David Blaine?
Is that not him, the magician?
Oh, a magician. Oh, that's cool.
He made it, and he left all his oxygen supply, so we're slowly ticking down the days.
The new album, Ark, your new album, Everything Everything. Is it good to have it out, Jonathan? Finally, after 2 years?
Of course, yeah. We've been waiting to put it out the last 6 months with it finished. Just sat there going, wait for January. So, yeah.
It's sounding so, so brilliant. We all know and love Everything Everything for Man Alive. How has Everything Everything moved on, would you say, to this new album, Ark?
We've all grown a lot in confidence, I think, especially me as a performer and as a writer, I guess. A lot of Man Alive kind of felt like we were kind of hiding behind distracting things and trying not to give anything away about who we were. And after a while, I guess we got a little bit tired of that, and we wanted to have more of a connection, really. So these songs on the new album are much more open and easy to understand, really, and easy to get what I'm talking about, hopefully.
Now, you're going to take us on a track-by-track journey through the world of Ark, and we start at the beginning, and what a way to start. This is track one, Cough Cough. We heard from Ark back in August of last year, and what a comeback single, Everything Everything with Cough Cough. This sounds massive, Jonathan.
Yeah, we worked hard making the drums sound massive, because that's pretty much all there is in the track, at least for a lot of it. Drums and voices.
Yeah, and I love how you, at the beginning, you've got coughs, actual, you know, human coughs as the percussion, which I really like.
Yeah, that was a complete fluke accident, really. I was at home and I coughed, and then I replied saying, yeah. I like the little rhythm that it created, the yeah. So I quickly whipped out my phone and recorded it. Recorded a little sort of demo, basically, of me just coughing and making stupid noises and saying, yeah, wait a second, and this stuff. And then that kind of was the spark I needed to write the rest of the tune, really.
And the coughs, we can hear it on the song. Is that the actual original coughing on your phone?
No, it's not. Funnily enough, I made a film a few years ago which featured a guy who steals someone else's voice. And part of the film is the transition period where his voice isn't really working properly and he keeps coughing. And I had to get him to record lots of cough sounds. So I had all these on my computer already. So I just went through my files and found all the coughs and put them in it.
It's like as if to say, can I have your attention? Everything, everything are back. What's the song about, Jonathan?
It's kind of about the consumption of oil and greed and money and the world of capitalism and the fact that I'm kind of involved in it, even if I don't really want to be, and so's everybody, and it's just the fact that you can't get away from it, I guess.
And we're going into the next single now. This is the latest single from Everything Everything, which is out now. This is Kemosabe. Hey. Everything Everything with Kimo Sabi, and we're joined by Jonathan from Everything Everything. Yeah, tell us about that song, Jonathan.
Kimo Sabi, that was the first thing for this album that I wrote, I think. I definitely was, actually. I wrote it in a shed in my parents' place up in Northumberland. It was sort of based on Rihanna's Rude Boy. I love the tempo and the feel of that, so I just took the tempo from that song and started my own song with that same feel. The lyrics are about the Lone Ranger. I've always been amused by the fact that he's called the Lone Ranger, even though he's got this guy who's always with him called Tonto, and I always thought that was a weird thing to call yourself the Lone Ranger, even though you're not alone. And I like the use of that in relationships where people feel alone even though they're not alone, and the language of Kimosabi, which is what they call each other, and Hayo Silver and Yippee-ki-yay. I just loved I loved the way it worked with the beat, and it sounded like a whole new language to me.
You mentioned this was inspired by Rihanna's Rude Boy, and is that something that's still at the heart of Everything Everything with this new album and maybe new songs you're writing? Do you think that American R&B, are you still really inspired by that?
It's usually the thing that shakes me up and goes, I want to know what's going on here, when I'm listening to lots of pop music, and then I hear, quite often it'll be Rihanna or Beyonce or even that Willow Smith song. There was something in it, and I want to analyze why I feel so good about that, and then see what I can learn from it, really, because it doesn't often happen with rock bands, because I kind of know what's going on there, and I don't know where these R&B things came from, these traditions, so that always sparks me into action. And then I end up writing something similar.
And I love your track list for the album as well. You've put the two big singles that we all know and love at the beginning of the album, so that the rest of the album is totally unfamiliar. Track three, this is Torso of the Week. Everything with Torso of the Week is from their album Arc, out now, and we have Jonathan taking us on a guide of the album. It's such a tune, isn't it? And Torso of the Week, I think, is probably one of the most rocky ones on the album. It must be fun to play live, right?
Yeah, it is really fun to play live, actually. Big loud guitars, doesn't happen often with us, although we're going to try and remedy that in the future, I think, because we all enjoy it so much.
Yeah, it's got a really big sound, and, you know, when most bands are recording their album, they'll hide away in a studio for a few months and, you know, total peace and quiet and write it, but with Everything Everything, I mean, you kept touring in stadiums while you were recording this album, didn't you? And when you were recording the album, you borrowed Elbow's recording space. Has this altered your approach to songwriting, Jonathan?
Yeah, to some extent, especially that room we were in, Elbow's room, is huge and everything echoes and booms around, and you can see why they would write their Olympic themes and their massive songs in that room, because, you know, noodly, twiddly stuff just gets lost, and we found that the usual sound we make of lots of detail and sort of fussiness was just getting lost in this room, so we found ourselves, you know, straightening ourselves out a bit and making bigger gestures musically, and that's kind of reflected in the record in a number of places, really.
Okay, that's really interesting, because yeah, I do think with this album it feels like it's more streamlined, and you've cut off all the what did you call it, noodly stuff.
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, there's, like I say, with Man Alive, I felt that there was too much distraction, really, and too much stuff happening that didn't need to necessarily, and we felt, you know, this definitely needs to happen here. If not, let's not do it, and let's try and stick to the song and make the song powerful and not just about surprising people at every turn. We'll try and make them get moved instead.
And is it an ambition for Everything Everything? I mean, you've been touring a lot recently, stadiums across the world with Muse, Two Door Cinema Club, you know, some of the biggest bands in the world. Is this an ambition of Everything Everything to, you know, one day play your own headline stadium tours?
I can't say either way, really. It's kind of something that we would love to do, but there's certain things you have to do in order to get there, and I'm not sure if we're that type of band or not, really. We're always finding out as we go along. I think some of the stuff on the new record works very well in those big rooms, I don't know, really. We kind of like the idea that we could do both and play massive places, or we could still play the sweaty clubs and be kind of punkier as well.
Now, this is one of the most tender moments on the new album, Arc, I think. This is track 4, and this is Duet.
Do you feel left behind, like there's something not right? I don't think I've been connected. But of all the dead volcanoes on Earth, you just happen to watch and roll.
Everything with Duets. What a beautiful song. And what's it about, Jonathan?
Thanks. It's kind of about being with somebody in the middle of a chaotic world and trying to hold on to each other while everything's going wrong. There's a recession and there's rioting in the streets and there's some kind of environmental disaster going on in it, and then two people in the middle of it who are sort of helping each other out, I guess.
Yeah, and it is a beautiful song, and it made me actually like cry.
I can remember walking the streets and just singing the melody through and trying out different words that got me going, really. And then I remember hitting on certainly that outro bit where I'm just sort of going crazy and writing it into my phone really quickly because I knew it was good, and it made me emotional. In fact, I cried a few times when we played this one back, most notably on the day we took the photos for the front of the record. We were playing the album while we were taking those photos, and Duet came on. And I shed a little tear, actually, and I can kind of tell by looking at the picture of me.
But I don't know what's real and what's going on. And I don't want to be here when the sky is gone. I'm just thinking about you. I don't want to think about it all. I'm tired. I don't want to think about it all. I'm tired. It was so
talk about the artwork for the album. The first album, Man Alive, the artwork is a cartoon fox, and the new album cover, it's just, you know, pictures of your faces, you know, simple as that. Do you think that sort of signifies how the album is more mature and more yourself?
Yeah, exactly that. I think we didn't notice at the time, but if you look back at Man Alive, I mean, there's a fox on the front, and even that's kind of glitched. You know, there's lots of crazy colours involved, like it's been damaged digitally. And that's just more of the same distraction, really, and there's no clarity about who we are or what's going on here. It's quite an alienating cover, I think, and this time round we just wanted to put ourselves on it, so there was no question anymore about who we are. It's more like the music is, it's kind of here we are, we're being open about ourselves and not trying to hide behind anything now. This is who we are, and it's come out really well. I really like the cover.
Yeah, it is good. We're into the track-by-track guide of Arc with Jonathan from Everything Everything. And now into track 5, this is Choice Mountain.
Wriggling back to the source and thrashing up the waterfalls for a while. Somewhere there is a place, and that could be the way that takes you all. But maybe I'm a lioness. And when I reach the shore, I'll tear apart hyenas with no thought. Now organs in a glassy glow, and cloudy with potential, muscle mass and vertebrae appear. Trying to figure my place, and feverish with all my dreams away. They don't notice me now, but I could be.
Everything with Choice Mountain from the album Arc. I love the guitars in that, Jonathan, that go doo doo doo. You know, I really like that. It sounds cool. And this album was produced with the fifth member of Everything Everything, David Costin, wasn't it? What was the decision behind getting David Costin back into the studio?
It was just a matter of ease more than anything else. I mean, we tried out a couple of other people, and while, you know, they were totally fine, they probably would have done a great job. It just felt like when we talked with David, and when we, you know, he just listened in on our rehearsals, it just felt so easy, and we didn't have to explain who, you know, not who we were, but, you know, how we work and what came before, because he knew it all, because he'd been there, and it just felt very, very natural. And there was kind of unfinished business, as it were, with him, and stuff we wanted to do that we didn't do first time round. There's lots of places that we felt we maybe went wrong the first time round that we wanted to remedy, and I think he felt the same as well.
So this is the rematch then?
Yeah, I guess so.
What does Choice Mountain mean? I mean, is it a place?
It's kind of conjures up a feeling of a place, like lots of the album does, like the peaks and Choice Mountain and a few other things that are supposed to feel like a map, but no, it's kind of a metaphor for just life, really, and you climb up the mountain of life, making the choices, and whether they're the right ones or the wrong ones, you kind of get to the top. And I don't know, it's got this feeling of again, of an arc, of a curve, of a mountain or a peak, of going up and down, and depending on how you live your life, really, and choices that the humans make in general.
And now we're into track 6 of the album Arc by Everything Everything. This is Feet for Hands. And I'm sorry that I made it this far. When you think of it, I remember this, and I say, and the faces of my family fade. Now it's featureless as an ounce, as an ounce, and so Hands by Everything Everything. It's from their new album Arc. In the song, Jonathan, you talk about, or you sing about, using your feet for hands. Is this like a sequel to schooling with the idea of, you know, evolution?
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's bang on.
Yeah, you can tell I'm a fan, Jonathan. Is that something that you're really, you know, fascinated by, the idea of evolution and mankind evolving and growing?
Yeah, of course. I think that's one of the primary interesting things that we have is looking back at where we came from, and the whole process is coming down from the trees and getting off the floor, and, well, going up to the trees, as it were, starting to use your feet for hands instead of having 4 feet, you've got 2 feet, and now you've got 2 hands, and that's kind of one of the many breakthrough moments in evolution. Adapting to your environment is ultimately so fascinating.
Now you're listening to the Everything Everything podcast and the track by track guide through the band's new album Arc. Now we enter into some of the more darker songs on the record, and it starts here with track 7, Undrowned.
Yeah.
Everything Everything with Undrowned. What's it like playing these songs live, Jonathan? Are you able to play every song live yet?
We could play everything except the next track after this, which is sort of a studio concoction of cellos and stuff, but we'll get to that. This one, we could definitely play, but I actually wrote the guitar part in 2001 when I was a lowly 17-year-old teenager, and I sort of revived it while we're making this record and rewrote the lyrics, and we changed the structure, and Alex wrote the middle eight, and all sorts of things happened to it, but the basic genesis of it is 2001.
And now we move into the title track of the album. This is Ark. Everything with Ark. What is Ark about then, Jonathan?
Well, in terms of the record title, it's more about all the time that humans have been on Earth and looking at their ups and downs. But this track, it's the tail end of an entire song that didn't make it the album, so we chopped off the end and stuck it on here. It makes more sense if you get the deluxe version, because the rest of the song is on there. But the lyrics that remain in this song are kind of about the president who's had a car crash and his limo's upside down, and he's just sort of freaking out. But I've always, while writing the lyrics for this record, I've always had an image in my mind of a kind of powerful, rich person in trouble. I kind of, that just kept coming back in my mind, and it appears in lots of places on the album. The billionaire in Undrowned who gets hung, drawn and quartered is kind of also a reference to that sort of image of the mob getting the rich man and killing him.
Okay, and that kind of links in with the London riots, which is something you've gone on record to say was a reference to Cough Cough.
Yeah, absolutely. The riots appear in Duet as well, and a few other places, and that idea of the mob sort of, I don't know, this whole thing of everyone hating the banker and all this stuff, and then I had this image in my mind of just the mob kind of getting the billionaire and ripping him apart because they want his money, and that just kept coming into my mind.
Now into track 9 of the album Ark, this is Armaland. Everything with Armaland. It's a groovy little number, that, isn't it, Jonathan? I really love the chorus.
Funnily enough, that's that chorus we wrote while we were making Man Alive. We were in the sort of farmhouse next to the studio, and we were getting really drunk. And we started just playing these instruments, and Alex was playing a keyboard, playing like the cheesiest chords he could think of. And I started singing, "I Wanna Take You Home," over the top of it. And then a load of really quite rude things I was going to do once I've taken you home. We never forgot the tune. We just kept coming back to it in the time that passed until it got to this album. And we go, well, why don't we do something with that melody? It's not leaving our minds. It's obviously good. So I just changed the lyrics to mean far more serious things about trying to take someone out of a bad situation and make them better and heal them. Again, in a sort of crumbling world, crumbling society, we kind of wrote it as a joke originally.
And does that link into the next track, The House is Dust? As you can guess from the title, you know, it's about things crumbling. Does that link into the next song?
In a sense, it's definitely a feeling throughout certainly the latter half of the record of things falling, I guess, of things crumbling, of structures not being sound anymore. The House is Dust is kind of about divorce and about families breaking up, and then it goes into this weird, surreal bit about me wanting to live at the end of time, and so I knew what, know what happens to all humans when we get to the end of the line.
Everything, everything, with The House Is Dust.
This is all my life.
Everything, everything with The House Is Dust from the album Arc. We go from a very somber kind of tone straight into this massive anthem that is Radiant. Tell us about this song, Jonathan.
I was very into The Streets of Philadelphia by Bruce Springsteen. I love the way it kind of rolls along. It's got a sadness, but it's quite funky and quite poppy, really. And I wanted to write something similar, with a similar feel. And this doesn't sound anything like that song, but it's for some reason that was what I had in my head. And we called it Philly for a long time. It's kind of about how you can't control nature, and the chorus sings about Richter scales and Geiger counters and trying to measure the earth, and then the message is that you can't control it, and it does its own thing. Works really well live, this one. It's one of my favourite ones to play live.
Yeah, it's a tune. Listening to the track-by-track guide of Everything Everything's new album, Arc. And now this is into the penultimate song from the album. This is Everything Everything with The Peaks.
Cross the peaks, cross the marsh, cross your fingers for the last time. And pass out the blame to someone and never step in.
Everything, everything with The Peaks from their album Arc, which is out now. You know, we're back to a very dark and serious tone on the album. Do you think this is a dark album to Man Alive, Jonathan?
I think it's probably as dark, but Man Alive's got a lot of humour on it, which kind of masks it. Man Alive's more about being cheeky and trying to sort of laugh along, whereas this one is much more overtly dark. I don't think I'm any darker as a writer, but the style is darker, maybe.
Thanks, Jonathan, for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And we're going to leave you with this, out now on Everything Everything's new album, Arc. This is Don't Try.